That's it. I'm going to call the solicitors in the morning.
Yeah. You're going to be ready. Well, good evening. Good evening to you all. My name's Jonathan Blake. I'm one of the ministers here at Rayleigh Baptist Church. And I'd like to extend to you a really, really warm welcome. Trust that you really feel at home with us this evening. It's a bit boomy. Sorry about that. Before we start, there's just a couple of housekeeping matters that I need to bring to your attention. The first is, in the very, very unlikely event of a fire, because this is a candlelit carol service, there are fire exits towards the back of the building there to my left, the double doors that most of you, I think, came through this evening. We also have a fire exit to my right here through the double doors, and there are separate exits as well under the balcony here and to the right as I look at the back of the church there. So if we do need to evacuate, please could we go by the exits. We have a number of stewards around who will point you in the right direction, and we'll meet up in the car park just to the left of this building here. We're going to sing lots of carols this evening. We're going to hear words from the Bible talking about the birth of Jesus. I think many of you are also here because we're going to have some really good, a really good performance from our No Strings puppet team this evening. We're going to have two items from them as well. Yeah. So what I would say is that we want you to feel comfortable here. We're going to move from one song and one item to the next item. If you want to stand when we sing, you're more than welcome to. If you want to sit, please do that as well. For the children and young people, when the puppets are on, if you want to come down the front, you're more than welcome to do that. We want you to feel as comfortable as you can. Hopefully in this service as well, you'll enjoy caroling with us. And if that's really stimulated you to sort of want to sing some more, we also have a 7:30 service here this evening, which will be a more traditional carol service where we have 9 lessons, carols, and also a choral piece as well. So I'd invite you, if you'd like to stay on, please do that. If you'd like to come to that, you'd be most welcome to do that as well. You'd have seen on your sheets as you have sat down that we take up a Christmas offering over this time of year, and the offering for this year is going to be split evenly between two charities. One is an overseas charity, Hadath Baptist Church, working there in the Lebanon, and they're working with 7 to 14 year olds, really dealing with the output of the refugee crisis, working with the children there, and we're going to send some money to them. We're also going to send money to the Basildon Women's Refuge as well. If you're a taxpayer, you will find on the forms that you have on your seats a little blue envelope. We'd love you to fill that in as well so that we can reclaim the tax that you've given to your gift. The final thing that I would say is that we have an absolute mountain of mince pies and of biscuits and of cookies, and we have cold drinks and warm drinks, refreshments after the service. Please don't rush away if you don't have to. We'd love to spend a bit of time with you. Refreshments will be served through the double doors on my right here in the lounge, which is just down the corridor there. Please do stay. Help us to get rid of some of these mince pies that we've got. Because this is the fourth Sunday in Advent, we're going to now light our the candle on our Advent wreath, and I'd like to invite the people who are going to light that candle to come up and just share with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Today we relight the first three candles of the Advent wreath, the candles of hope, peace, and joy. Now we light the fourth candle of Advent. This is the candle of love. Jesus demonstrated self-giving love in his ministry as the Good Shepherd. Advent is a time for kindness, thinking of others, and sharing with others. It is a time to love as God loved us by giving us his most precious gift. As God is love, let us be love also. In the book of Deuteronomy, we find these words: "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them with food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." And that was from Deuteronomy 10, verses 17 to 19a.
From the Gospel of John we hear, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." John 13, verse 34. Let us pray.
Teach us to love, O Lord. May we always remember to put you first as we follow Christ's footsteps, that we may know your love and show it in our lives. As we prepare for our celebration of Jesus' birth, also fill our hearts with love for the world, that all may know your love and the one whom you have sent, your Son, our Saviour. Amen.
Amen.
Come, ye faithful. Verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Yeah. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Jesus.
But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Christmas is just around the corner. Only 5 more sleeps to go. Who's excited about that? Woo! A lot of children said, "Whoop!" I'm not sure about the adults, though. I'm not sure about the adults. For me, Christmas just wouldn't be Christmas without the usual familiar things being done by our family over the festive period. Family traditions being kept, such as decorating the Christmas tree and unwinding all the lights, just hoping that they all work this year. Playing loads of Christmas songs, singing lots of Christmas carols, watching TV classics like The Muppets Christmas Carol or It's a Wonderful Life. Maybe even something like The White Christmas, if that's in your age range. Making up Christmas lists, buying presents, writing and sending Christmas cards. For me, my lovely wife making and baking mince pies, collecting the turkey, and of course that annual ritual of peeling the Brussels sprouts on Christmas Eve whilst watching The Good Life, their Christmas episode. I'm sure, though, that each one of us has our own traditions around Christmas. And when we talk about it like that, it all sounds so perfect, doesn't it? I'm sure, though, that we've all experienced that sinking feeling when we go shopping in the run-up to Christmas. And the crowds just seem overwhelming. There's nowhere to park. There are queues for everything. People are jostling and tempers are fraying. Well, it was, of course, many times worse for a young mum-to-be, Mary, who was about to give birth, and for her husband, Joseph. After a long and tiring journey, they finally get to their destination, only to find, of course, that the town was bursting at the seams. There was nowhere for them to stay. There was no room in the inn. And of course, when they finally did find somewhere to rest, it was just a space in a stable with all of the animals, all dirty, all smelly, and all drafty. What a humbling start to life that must have been. But surely God, who directed events so that Mary and Joseph travelled to Bethlehem, could have seen to it that a room would be available for them in an inn. Well, of course, he could have. He could have also ensured that Jesus would have been born into a wealthy family, worshipped by kings and rulers, and not born into a poor family, surrounded by animals and visited by those shepherds. And when Jesus was older, God could have saved Jesus from the agony of the cross on that first Good Friday. You see, it's not whether God could do it, but rather God knew what needed to be done. And so events unfolded just as he had intended them to do. The no vacancy signs that greeted Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem that night were part of God's great salvation plan for you and for I. Jesus, God's own son, didn't come to be pampered and privileged as a ruler with guards protecting him and stopping people from coming to see him. Instead, he was born in meekness as one of us, in a stable, laid in a manger where anyone could come and visit. whilst the innkeepers in Bethlehem missed their chance to open the doors to Christ over 2,000 years ago, God, in his amazing love, still gives us the opportunity to invite Jesus into our lives today. Emmanuel, God with us, loves us so much that he came into the world so that everyone might know him and have a living relationship with him. It wasn't just for that first Christmas. For God wants us to come and receive him still. Of course, when things are going well, when we think that we've got all of the things that we actually need, it's easy not to give God a second thought. And when things are tough, when we're struggling with the problems of life, it's so easy to feel that God is distant from us, that he doesn't really care for us at all. And so we end up closing the door to him and saying, there's no place for you here. But the angel of the Lord said, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. You see, God is not distant from us. For he entered into the world, into all of its pain and misery, and he grew up amongst us as one of us. And because of that, he knows how each one of us feels. Our joys, our desires, our excitement. He also knows our worries and our fears, our sorrows and our hurts and our loneliness. He came to bring us hope, to bring peace to all people and to reach everyone with his saving love. Although there was no room for Christ at Bethlehem's Inn on that first Christmas, there is room for each one of us in his kingdom if we want to accept him. For no one here tonight is beyond the power of God to forgive, to heal, and to bring peace. We just need to put our trust in him and ask him to come into our lives. I love Christmas. I really love Christmas. The tree and the decorations, the cards, the food, the drink, the time off work, seeing friends and family, receiving presents and giving presents. But the problem is, it just doesn't seem to last long enough. The great joy of Christmas, however, is that God has made a way through faith in his Son to have a relationship with him that will last forever, throughout all eternity. Maybe you have never had reason to think about it before, but Jesus invites all of us, each one of you here tonight, this Christmas. And the question is, will we accept his invitation and make room for him? Amen.
Joy. and I'm a senior minister here at Redding Baptist Church. Myself and Jonathan would just simply like to say to you, have a very, very, very happy Christmas. Like we said earlier on, 7:30, if you want to go home, put the kids to bed, come out again, get a babysitter. I know that won't happen. But I'll be speaking at the 7:30 service, and if you're able to, we want to encourage you to come along to that. Christmas Day as well, we'll be here at 10:30, both Jonathan and myself. And we just want to say thank you so much for coming this evening. We're really glad that you chose to worship with us this evening. And we want to wish you a merry, merry Christmas. You can tell out the two of us which one likes the mince pies more, can't you? So I can't eat any more. Jonathan probably could, but yeah. I can't. So please do come and join us in the lounge where we can share fellowship together. But if we don't see you until after Christmas, come and see us after Christmas. We'll be here every Sunday morning at 10:30 as well. But Merry Christmas. I hope that this Christmas you find out more about what Christmas is truly all about, which is Christ. Jonathan's going to pray for us. And then it's mince pie time, children. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, just a cup of coffee.
Let's pray. Let's just pray. Yeah, Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together. As we come before you to celebrate the birth of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. We celebrate the miracle of God coming as a baby, coming to live among us, coming to love us, coming to show us the way to eternal life. During this Christmas season, help us to experience the story of the birth of Christ as though it were the first time we've ever heard it. Bring to our thoughts a sense of wonder and awe at what took place 2,000 years ago. And may we remember too that there is room for all of us in Jesus' kingdom, and he invites us all in. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face towards you and grant you his peace, both today and over this Christmas period. Amen. Amen.
A minute ago, I just had to tell you, it's so funny. I just said to the children, come and have some mince pies. And some little voice said, is there no turkey? So next Christmas, we'll have turkey at this service as well. All right? I don't know how we'll do it, turkey nuggets or something. But bless you all. Come and join us for mince pies. We'd love that. Thank you.